from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Hey everybody, I'm back. This is Alon on the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. There's no one else in the studio. It's all me all week long.
Can you turn my knob up?
Yeah, nice try, dude.
All right, sorry.
My knob isn't...
So all three of us here, there's...
Aura.
And Rich.
And of course myself.
My knob isn't turned up.
Dude, hey, before we get started, I want to give a shout out.
Okay.
To ASU students.
Okay.
ASU in the house.
Aura's still teaching over at ASU.
Right.
That's right.
How much longer do you have left before they kick you out?
About 3 weeks, if I'm on my best behavior.
And how's that going?
Actually,
in the classroom yet?
It's fantastic. There's been no property damaged at all. No equipment has been stolen.
Are they busy making
any success.
Games while they get educated, or are they just learning?
Well, they're learning and making kind of like simultaneously, right? But like the first half, which is like what we just finished, is focused on like education because they don't know nothing pretty much when it comes to games. So like we've been teaching them like how to model and how to make stuff in the Unreal Engine and how to program. And so now it's going to like get down to like real serious business.
That's kind of different than the summer camp thing I did at DigiPen years ago.
Yeah, so now like they've split up into groups. They have like three teams, mm-hmm. and they've all got like an idea of their project. And so like pretty much from here on out, it's going to be work, playtime is over, right? And playtime before, by playtime I mean like shut up and listen to me talk for 2 hours.
Are there any really obviously dumb kids who are just sort of trailing behind? And like if they were put in a group without the smart kids to pull them through, they would just fail and not do anything?
I will only say that there's a variety of skill levels represented.
Because they're listening
the
right now.
Well, because I was always thinking, like, what if you take the people in the class and intentionally separate the teams such that the stupid people don't have smart people to carry them through?
Yeah, we actually configured it so that the teams are balanced.
So yeah, I think that the dumb kids would get pushed harder because they wouldn't be able to coast. So they might, although the end result might not be as good. Who really cares? The point is them learning, and they might be pushed harder to actually learn something.
Well, don't
of value
yeah.
if they're not.
I don't know. I think that the competition aspect, however, isn't really.
There's competition.
That. Well, I mean, you're just talking about getting pushed harder, right? So,
well, So if they have someone who's smart on the team who can do all the coding,
right?
Then maybe they won't learn the coding. And
oh,
just
I see
do
what
some
you're saying. I
crappy
see what you're
art
saying.
For dumb trees, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that you know there is always a baseline level of apathy when it comes to teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
However, having said that, I'm actually really, really surprised at the overall skill level and interest and motivation of everybody there.
I found when I did my project, I was working with a friend of mine and two other kids were on our team. And unfortunately, it's just really hard to organize the code from several people, especially when you're not working with, you know, an advanced coding language, right? We were just using
right.
C. We could have farmed out different functions and whatever, but it wouldn't have worked well. So we had some people doing art and they really wanted to do more stuff that was related to the game. And my friend and I just sort of took over, and I've always felt bad about that.
Yeah, well,
of course, I did all the work.
I mean, I've heard about what it's been like on previous years, but we'll experience that and see how that happens this year.
Okay, well, I kind of want to hear how it goes. Are you going to be able to show off the games that they make in the end? Are they going to be online or
well,
anything?
Actually, I just decided we were going to do this without telling you, so I might as well just tell you live on the air.
Okay.
But yeah, the team who wins, we're going to bring them on the show.
Okay, and I'm going to get to play their game.
Woo.
You know,
prior.
You
to,
should be
like
able to
about.
Play their game. You totally should be able to play their game.
Mm.
Okay. In fact,
well, I just know that the rules where I was at DigiPen, you weren't allowed to remove the game from the premises, so like I couldn't show it to anybody.
No, I don't think
that's
that
lame.
ASU like owns your game or anything.
Oh.
You don't have to like sign your like life off everything you produce during
now
this
the property
time period.
ASU.
It's not yours. No, it's like nothing yeah. like that. So, but actually, at the end. And maybe in another show we'll give more details, but at the end we're having like this I don't know, a little like, I don't want to call it a gala, but that's the only word that's coming to mind, but it's not that big, but we're basically having like a little like...
An open house.
A celebration of the ending, right? And there's going to be like, you know...
That implies that it's a hellish experience.
Yes. There's going to be like badass like professors there and people for some companies, and you guys can come on and you can look at all the projects, not just the winners.
That's cool. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I would remind people that although I don't think UAT has like a summer camp situation.
No.
You could go there and make games like for a long time.
Yeah.
Not just.
It's more than 6 weeks.
Yeah. I'm glad that ASU is doing this. Do they have a game design track?
Well, see,
so
here's the cool thing is that they're actually like they're starting a curriculum. We actually talked about this all last episode, but they're starting a new curriculum, right, about games. So this is like the preview of what's to come, you know? So first time ever. You know, they're kind of like talking to me a little bit about, you know, if I'm interested in participating about that. So
being a full-time professor.
Well, there's a long road to go down before you get there.
Would you be interested in going into teaching and leaving actual design?
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. It's
And would they allow you to moonlight?
I mean, really, I think they would, because the stipend you get, you know, which is normal for pretty much anyone in a graduate program, is relatively meager. But yeah, I mean, really, I think it would be awesome to make everybody call me doctor. So.
You mean you're talking about becoming a grad student and teaching?
Well, I mean, if you really go for it, right, then, you know, if you want to be, like, respected at a teaching institution, you have to go get a PhD, you know?
So could you make up some sort of...
I think all you need really is a master's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're giving me the hard sell, I don't know.
If you're going to become a professor, could you make some sort of doctorate degree in game design?
I don't want people. I mean, people won't call me master, you know. So that's no good. We can't do that.
Master Ara.
All right. Well, I'm glad this is going well for you. I'm going to want to see what it actually turns out.
And then maybe I can go and get I don't know, some kind of like reverend prefix in front of my name. Go down to Jamaica, get one of those.
The honorable, I think, is a better.
Yeah, and then I can have like four different prefixes in front of my name. I mean, that's the point in life, right?
Well, it'd be tough to fill out online surveys.
But, yeah, I think I'll be able to deal with that one, though.
Okay. All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left in the first segment. We'll get, you know, to talking about real things in the next segment. I do want to point
things.
Out. Well. You know, this was video game related, sort of.
Marginally.
So before the show, I went back. I decided I was going to play some Trauma Center New Blood. That's Trauma Center 2, right, on the Wii.
Yeah.
It has been quite a long time. All I remember is that I was on a level that I couldn't beat.
Yeah, I remember I was on a level I couldn't beat as well.
Yeah. In fact, Rich, I think it was you and I playing together.
And it was impossible.
Yeah.
It was like, did we end up beating it together?
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
So I just started doing it single.
Do you realize what you have said? Do you really realize what you just said?
All right. Somebody can clip that out for a second. I decided to go at it alone. And so I went back and I discovered, like, apparently you can do the thing that slows down time, the star thing.
Yeah, the star power.
Yeah, but they don't really point that out. They don't say you can do it, but you can. So I figured that out. I still can't beat it, though. I played it over and over and over and still can't beat it. And so that bothers me. But it got me – well, it didn't really get me to thinking about anything. But Michaela, who's in the studio this week too, brought something up on the way to the studio today about really like games simulating life, when in the past games were an escape from life and something very different. And now, especially with the Wii, although somewhat with other game systems because of other peripherals like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, right? Especially with the Wii, we're going back to like this – faux simulation.
Yeah, and that really pisses me off. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if maybe the Wii, like, obviously they've got a lot of market share. They've got a lot of people buying their system. So it's not like they made the wrong business move, but I just can't see it lasting terribly long because so far the games all suck.
It's not like Trauma Center's simulation, though.
It is a simulation. It's not a realistic simulation.
Yeah,
it's clearly
it's not
a
like,
simulation.
Oh, glass shards are coming out of the guy's heart. We better remove those.
But the gameplay is trying to simulate you being a surgeon. It's nowhere near being realistic.
I don't know that. I don't know that simulating would be the right word.
Well, when you find a better word, you let me know.
I think that Rich is just getting at that
Gran
it's not
Turismo
attempting to be realistic.
Is more of a simulation racing then Trauma Center is simulation surgery.
Or is it?
Well, I disagree. I don't know why you've decided that.
I mean, it's... I just don't think Trauma Center is any simulation.
Let's not get caught up in the...
it's like seeing Gears of War as a simulation alien killer.
Dude, it's a murder simulator. You know that.
Yeah, obviously.
Jack Thompson taught us. All right, we'll be back after the break, everyone. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And that's Rich over there being very silent.
Thank you. I'm not doing this every time.
Yeah, I'm doing it. See, okay. I'm keeping it going. That's how it works.
See, then I stop and say, oh, I'm not going to say my name, and then we take up more time.
Yeah. All right, so I was...
it's an endless spiral.
It is.
I was somewhat distracted by the torture game.
Somewhat?
During the break.
Like, the
you're
understatement
over there
of a
ripping
century?
People's arms off of dolls.
Dude, the torture game is very interesting
that
to
is,
me.
I'm shocked.
And
I'm
the sound
the first
effect
time,
it makes, it's like, and then blood splatters.
Well, you can
everywhere.
Use the chainsaw, you can use guns. Razor blades.
It's, you know what?
You can take this rope and
attach
his
really
foot
torture.
To his arm.
When you're just shooting people, that's just killing them.
Okay,
not,
first,
you can put
first
a
of all,
a spike through
no, no.
See,
first
that's,
of all,
that's torture.
It's not even a game. It is truly a simulation. Second of all, it's, and I don't understand this, it's a doll
that bleeds.
Well, dude. It's actually supposed to be a person.
Technology.
Well, it looks more like
it's
a doll.
It's pretty high-tech stuff.
Well, it is a Flash game, dude. You know,
look, I'm just saying they've represented
the Unreal 3 engine.
They've represented the macabre body parts and blood so well, but it looks like a doll.
If only the Unreal 3 engine could be rendered in a web browser.
But I'm assuming that there's some kind of controversy surrounding this.
There is. It was on Game Politics, and apparently there was like some official notice to parents in some state.
This is really this is kind of sick.
Here's what's
going to
happen.
It's kind of sick.
Kids are going to play this online with the little mouse and clicky, and then they're going to go to school and try to take a mouse and rip people's arms off. And they're going to go, it's not working.
Yeah. Kind but of like...
All I can think of is, like, there's some people, and I don't understand how or why this happens, but they have, like, this weird, like, fetish with body parts.
And a lot of people, yeah.
Dismembered parts specifically.
Okay.
And this is, like... This is like get your rocks off on dismembering your own parts. What?
Whatever. I was enjoying it.
What? Well, clearly you were enjoying it. But I'm just like.
So
this
what
is,
are we
this
talking
is either
about right
only,
now?
Either okay. This thing fulfills only two purposes, right? One of them is piss off as many people as possible, or two.
It's fun.
You have a weirdo fetish and you want to piss off as many people as possible.
Actually, it has some good physics applied to it, and it could have just been someone's effort to demonstrate interesting physics.
No. I'll give a negatory on that.
No,
the guy's head was floating.
No, it's because
air.
I was holding it.
No.
It didn't float in air.
Yeah, it
but
did.
You can, like, you can put a rope, attach a rope to his foot, and then drag it up and attach it to his hand. And think,
listen.
Who cares
when
if
you
it
make,
has good
when
physics?
When you think, I want to make a physics demo to show off my physics demo implementation skill, the good. First subject matter that comes to mind is not decapitating a bloody doll.
Two good physics demos are the staircase.
I will
the
decapitate
staircase,
him with a chainsaw right now.
The staircase thing, and then the truck, where you put the guy like on a truck, and then the truck hits a wall, or you make the guy fall
totally
up.
Just cut off his head.
I don't know what the game's called.
I just cut off his head.
This is nuts.
Okay. Next topic.
Anyway, so, all right. It was very interesting. I should put a link to that on our website. So, I wonder if I could post it directly into the website. That would be awesome. We were talking about the Wii, right? Before the break.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were playing a surgery game. I was playing a surgery game, Trauma Center. Where,
so that's,
you know,
like, it's good and evil.
Yeah,
like,
for those
good.
Who aren't familiar, right, you basically...
Torture game bad.
Between the somewhat horrible commentary... that goes for each level, right? Between those, your
commentary. How about like Shakespearean monologue?
Yeah, they go on
and like, and by that I mean like length, not quality.
So you're always given this body. You know, you never see a face. It's not terribly detailed. It's just like, okay, open up the body by using the scalpel. You open it up. You go in there. You remove some tumors. You drain
right.
some, you know,
some glass,
some pus,
magic crystals.
Yeah, but with the Wiimote, like, you're actually making the motion to slice open the body, and you're, you know, gripping the B and the A button together to pinch something with tweezers and pull out a tumor or whatever.
Mm, right.
So yeah. It's an interesting use of the Wii Remote, and it is, although, again, not realistic, it is quite obviously a simulation of something that you do in real life.
It's not a simulation. Because people don't do that in real life.
Let's not get bogged down
into
semantics.
It's one of the more interesting
please.
Games on the Wii. And I think back to, like, all the different games on the Wii that have been fun, and there haven't been too many. Like, Super Mario Galaxy was good, but as I've said on the show mm-hmm. before, it would have been better with a normal controller.
Yep.
A lot of people liked Metroid 3.
It didn't offer anything new over Metroid 2 or Metroid Prime 1.
Well, the control,
but
you got to point at the screen, but
it
you didn't
made
like
it worse. It made it worse.
Well, everyone else disagrees with
me. I know, obviously. Everybody disagrees with me, but they're wrong.
Yeah, but what about like Big Rigs 2?
Oh, actually, yeah, that game's amazing.
Well, you know, that game could be released on anything. So basically what the Wii did, it recreated the old school NES remote, this two-button thing with a D-pad, and it gave totally new control in terms of pointing at the screen and shaking stuff and whatever. Mm-hmm. But all that's done, it's really made people create these games that just simulate real life. Like, there hasn't been a whole lot of new stuff, no real innovation, nothing that could last years and years and years.
Where are you going to draw the line at what constitutes innovation?
Well,
I mean, I would say that Trauma Center is actually really innovative.
Okay, well,
Trauma Center is cool.
Maybe creative is the word I'm looking for.
And creative.
Creative. A golf game is not creative in any way, shape, or form
with
the Wii.
Let's think past. Let's go 3 years into the future. You've still got the Wii, right? And the Wii Remote and whatever, without adding new peripherals. Like, what are they going to do with that system?
Nothing. The Wii,
I think these are the same concerns that we had raised when the thing first came out, which is, yes, this is cool novelty, but how much latitude in design does it really facilitate?
Yeah.
Not
really.
Much. It's virtual console games, things that you played years ago with a D-pad and a small number of buttons.
I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens with the Wii after this Christmas. Like, it seems like one of those things that is going to become a fad. Where, like, so many people talk about it. Oh, look at this cool stuff with the motion control on, like, big popular shows where they're not going to talk about the Xbox 360.
Ironically, there was an article put up on Kotaku just today quoting an analyst saying, actually, the Wii might not be a fad.
Okay.
But
well,
it was
I mean, I think if it still does really well through this holiday season and after that, but I mean, I think 3 years, it'll be 3 years now or 2 years. I don't know. I can't really add. But I think unless they do something new with it, additional peripherals, that people will get bored with it. I mean, they have Wii Fit, but like they need to do something else now too next year to add another peripheral to it and another peripheral. Otherwise, people will get bored with it, I think.
I have the same concern.
Because, I mean, Metroid Prime 3, oh, they're going to make Metroid Prime 4. It's going to be the same exact game.
Well, I mean, that's just basically control scheme for any first-person shooter. Like, they released Call of Duty as well.
But, I mean, even games, you know, on 360, like, same control schemes, but, like, Call of Duty 4 is a really solid game because they're focusing on things like the game rather than, oh, let's just make the same game again. I mean, that happens, but I think the Wii is more prone to just, like, okay, well, let's make these stupid controls on this game and not really worry about making the game itself actually good.
Okay, so beyond this argument, or concern about whether it'll actually be a fad in the future, like, do you generally think that we're getting more attached to we're moving back to games that are just simulation? Well, I guess they never were.
I right? think I think
I
we're
think
definitely going
at
dark.
All.
I think that it's funny because I have notes of this topic I want to talk about, and it's actually very close to what we're talking about right now, which is it seems like games are becoming, or at least there's a trend, right? I mean, we're not going to say this wholesale, obviously. There's a trend towards, like, games becoming more and more simulator-like, right? But then on the other hand, like, if you do something, like, if you watch TV and movies, like, they're becoming more and more, like, game-like in a lot of ways. And I don't know. I think that's for a lot of reasons. I think that now, like, we're getting this technology that we can do a lot of, like, cool simulations. And so, like, you know, everyone's whoring it out because they can, because that's how game development works. You know, if I don't do technology,
but
okay. do it as much as possible. Lens flare for 5 years, and then, okay, now we're sick of lens flares. Now we do something else.
Is it just the Wii that's going back to the simulation-style gaming? Or?
No, I think it's been a trend for several years now. I mean, like, look at all the first-person shooter games. Look at all the military-style games coming out that have been coming out for the past several years.
All right.
That's my take.
I'm worried that I'm not going to have many fun games in the future.
Me too.
Anyway, we got to go to break. We're going to hear some news, and then we'll be back.
You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
So we're back. During the break, we're continuing this pointless semantic discussion over what is simulation.
I don't think it's pointless.
Lively yet pointless.
I don't think it's pointless.
I'm going to reiterate.
I think it's very important.
Let us not engage in a semantic discussion for a half hour.
Well, no, yeah. I think it's important to define what is considered a simulation
okay,
and what
I just,
isn't.
I just defined it for the purposes
what?
Of this discussion.
What's for the purpose of this discussion?
We just say that games that are derived from some real-life activity.
Okay.
Period. Okay.
So
Mario Brothers,
every game ever.
No, Mario Brothers, come on, jumping around in a mushroom land filled with pipes? Not really.
Sure.
I agree with him.
Okay.
And it's hard to find me agreeing wholeheartedly with Aaron.
So I could say something like, the games I'm looking forward to most over the next year or so, I don't think any of them are derived from reality in any sort of way, unless you consider Prototype derived from reality.
No, I'm with you.
Not.
I agree. Not all games are
nor
simulation.
Nor is Too Human, nor is Fable 2.
Why
nor
are you taking
is...
this so personally, man?
But I'm just saying, I don't understand. I just don't understand why you think simulation games are becoming more popular now when I don't really
just
think
they
are.
Just because the games you're playing. Notice no, you're not
we're just
playing
we're just generally speaking. We're not saying like wholesale all
but,
games are now based on reality.
But I'm also making the argument that something like Guitar Hero 3 and Rock Band is a simulation.
Okay.
Not some hardcore simulation that has you tuning your guitar
and
plucking
strings.
And
that's one example of a game that's doing well. But there are games like Halo 3 that have sold way more copies than Rock Band.
And I would argue that Halo 3 is not at all like a simulation, right? But I'm asking the question. I'm not making the statement.
Okay.
Right?
Let him ask the question.
The Wii clearly...
The answer is no.
The Wii clearly simulates... Like, even Cooking Mama...
Cooking Mama... Ugh.
...is trying to simulate the motion. So when I say simulation, I'm referring to basically your interaction with the game. In Cooking Mama, you're simulating... emotions are simulating what you're doing. You obviously don't have a burner.
It's mimicking rather than simulating.
It's a natural mapping, right? We have an interface where that you physically move in space. So the most natural mapping is to map it to some other activity where you physically move something in space. So that's why we see those types of games on the Wii.
And what game... If we didn't have the Wii, would I actually want to pretend like I'm cooking something?
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
But you even with the Wii, you don't want to pretend you want to cook something, because that game is horrendous. You
it's actually
2 hours
quite a
going,
popular game.
I moved a Wii remote controller back and forth, and I got some pictures on a screen that looked
right.
like food.
Well, listen, we can make the argument all day whether or not it's a good game. It's still sold a lot.
Yeah,
so
it's
the
still
market,
sold a lot.
The market has spoken.
But,
they're coming out with another one.
But maybe this is an argument of semantics again, but like to me, that's you're not simulating cooking as much as you are mimicking the motions of it. And maybe that's what simulation is, but it seems more of a mimic.
Okay, then forget about the motion mimic. Let's just say we had a game that used a controller, which was about cooking. It's something that I could do in real life. I could go down to the kitchen and cook something and not get a whole lot of joy out of
it. And if it's like, if the game entailed pressing buttons to say, I'm going to cook this, and there wasn't much beyond that, but if it was like, okay, I need to put in 2 cups of sugar and 8 cups of flour, and I need to mix it for this long, and then serve it to somebody
and see
if they like it, that would be simulation.
Okay, you know
and
what?
That
this,
would,
is,
right?
this is like, I can just, there's... all I can think of is just like a huge flushing sound and spiraling water.
Like, this is...
We're going nowhere!
I know!
We're not going anywhere.
But I just don't understand what...
Well, because it allows us to continue the discussion. So, I agree with you. It would be considered a simulation.
Yeah.
So, my question is, we have all of these games that are starting to move in that direction, but, luckily, they're basically just on the Wii. And so, if we look at actually interesting gaming situations, they're not on the Wii at all. And so, still, you've got... masses of people deciding that they want to play these games that essentially simulate life that
right
they could
now,
go, they could go do outside. They could go play baseball or golf.
Well, they probably can't.
It's novelty, right? So obviously novelty has some value that while it continues to be novelty, people will be attracted to, and then it will not be novelty after a while,
well, there's
and
also
people
the
will not be attracted to anymore.
People like doing things that they're successful at. I'm not going to be successful at really playing golf, but I can be successful playing video
golf
because
yeah.
it's made a lot easier.
Well, sure,
easier.
But you could say that about any game that you feel competent at, whether it's based in real life or not.
Well, I feel competent at Trauma Center, and it's still hard as crap.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in overall trends, though, I mean, are these type of games the games that are selling really well? Like, yeah, the Wii itself is doing really well. But are these types of games actually selling really well, or are they?
What does
I mean,
that
I
have to
know.
Do with like the price of gas?
Nothing.
Well, it has to do with
well,
measuring
games are
going to
cost
success.
More because it's going to cost more money to get those games in the stores, and then you have to drive
all
to
right,
the
quiet,
store.
Quiet
and get...
down. We're not talking about this. But what sold more is terribly relevant.
Yeah, I mean, because
I was just thinking of it in terms of like, well, the more types of games you see coming out, is the direction that your market is going.
No, not necessarily.
No.
Because, I mean, a bunch of games could come out that are similar, and they could all sell terribly. And that would mean that game.
Right, but the type of games that come out is indicative of what publishers think the market wants.
All right. That doesn't mean.
No, what publishers think the market wants.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that is what the market wants.
Exactly.
Well, clearly, no.
Let's hear what Scott has to say about this. We've got him calling. Did he call him last week, by the way?
No, he didn't.
Maybe he did, but I don't think so.
All right, so I want to thank everyone, by the way, who's actually listening live. Like, I was thinking about this on the way to the station today.
Yeah.
That we have a few people who actually listen live and go on the forums. In fact, if you're not on the live chat...
We thank you!
If you're not on the live chat, I don't know
well.
That you're listening live unless you call in. So I just want to appreciate audibly those people who take the time to actually listen live every week when really you could just podcast it afterwards, you know? Why bother? But I think it's great they do. So, Scott, you are on the air, I believe.
Yep.
So did you want to jump in on the simulation talk, or was there something else?
Or, like, use another word to describe simulation.
Because I want to hear you yell at one of us about simulation.
It was actually a little bit earlier. My job to go and pay for my tuition is working at Walmart Electronics.
Ooh,
and I
sorry,
see
man.
The... No, actually, it's not as bad as you think, at least not in
Do you break all the street
anyway.
Dates?
Dude, you can't ever feel good about working for the devil. But
Walmart's
that's fine.
Not the devil.
Anyway, beyond the point.
at least it's in Canada.
Anyway, beyond the point. We have they call it the value bin, where we basically dump all our games that are $20.
Yes.
And quickly, the Wii actually overtook the PlayStation 2 quantity in the dump bin.
Nice.
I'm sure that was 50% responsible because of dump trucks 4 or whatever.
You mean, what was that game?
Quite a few, actually, but the only good one in there is, like, Rayman Raving Rabbids.
That game is that game's not good, actually.
Well, in comparison to other Wii games, it was pretty good when it came out.
Okay, yeah. So keep going here. What's the point we're getting at?
So I'm thinking what's actually happening with the Wii is that, I know it's the developers have been ranting about this for a while, I think the controls are just not good enough. I mean, not for what the developer's doing, but I mean, for the actual precision of the apparatus itself, it's probably not good enough to actually do some hardcore simulation, because you will probably never actually get an accurate reading of what the player is actually doing, so it will all end up boiling down to random stick waggling. So you'll end up having the type of game that will try to guess more than precision can be given, and end up making you do things you don't want to, because it's assuming you're doing things you're not, and that game will end up in the value bin, or it's going to resort to random stick waggling, and that game will end up in the value bin. So it's kind of like it's almost a double-edged sword, where the hardware just does not match what it's trying to do. well, except for playing casual games.
With all due respect, you're making the argument that I made before the system ever came out, that it's simply not accurate enough to do anything to a hardcore gamer.
I would have credit you if I had the time.
He's confirming your prediction of 2 years ago.
Yeah, but, I mean, what you just said is how it's not capable of doing what it's intended to do is actually wrong, because it's intended to meet the needs of casual gamers and not be terribly accurate. But
well, yeah, that's...
So that's why it's still successful.
It's
anyway,
exactly.
We got to go to break. I don't know if you can hear the music, but I can. We'll be right back.
Yep.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Era.
Did you notice the last segment we didn't do this?
Do
the
what?
The name thing?
No, I didn't. No.
I avoided it for you, man.
That's...
Yay!
For you.
All right.
I do, however, have to mention UAT, our sponsor, the University of Advancing Technology, and you can go visit them at uat.edu to learn about the game developer programs that they have for everyone.
You just totally chopped off that name thing I started. Just
that's
like,
that's
just
right.
Just like that.
It's a trend I'm trying to start. Chopping off your things.
Okay. Well, then.
All right. Shopping. So yeah, enough with this this simulation biznatch.
Enough. Okay. Okay.
You've got a bunch of other stuff. We wanted to continue something from last week.
Yes. All right.
I was on vacation. I missed this.
Yeah. So I'm just going to pretend like you didn't miss it, and then hopefully you'll just chime in.
I'm good at picking things up on the fly.
Yes. Very, very good. Okay. So one thing that we were talking about from last week that we didn't really get into so much that I wanted to spend more time on is this idea of dynamic difficulty adjustment. And so this game Flow, made by this guy Genova Chen, basically, I think part of his thesis was that if you implement dynamic difficulty adjustment into your game, as he did in the game Flow, you can more easily and more readily bring anybody who plays the game into a state of flow. Flow, the psychological concept, not the game, right? And
I didn't see any dynamic difficulty in that game. That's what bugged me about this whole premise.
Here's the thing, is that that game is just, it's just so slow and so sleep-inducing that you can't even detect any difference in dynamic difficulty adjustment. But for the record, what it does is, for example, you know, if you run away a lot, then it gets easier, right? Or if you decide to collect, like, the red power-ups a lot that make you go deeper into the ocean of whatever.
Yeah, basically, if you stay
it gets
on,
harder.
If you stay on the early levels,
right.
Yes, it'll be easy. If you want to finish the game and go through the deeper levels or the higher levels, then yeah, it's harder. That every
right,
game
right.
is like
no,
that.
No. But he purports that there's a way to like go through the game in an easy way and in a hard way, and allegedly based on your actions, whether you're aggressive or successful, the game gets harder as a result. And if you're meek and unsuccessful, I guess, then the game gets easier, but it still allows you to progress in some way or another.
How can a game that never finishes actually be deemed difficult?
Well, there's only 20 levels.
Okay, supposedly there's an... Anyway.
And then it recycles.
But I mean, like, you can't die.
No.
No, just, well, you die and then you come back.
You
right?
go yeah. up a level and lose a right. piece that you swallow immediately.
Right, so what they do, for example, is when you die, quote-unquote, like, they make the game easier as a result.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know any game that uses a dynamic difficulty adjustment.
That's good.
To a good end. Yes. Every single game that does this, they do something very, very horrible.
Race car games do that?
Anything. Race car games do it. Flow does it.
Bad.
Even like, the funny thing is that the old NES game Zanac, okay, had dynamic difficulty adustment.
Did it?
Yes, because
I never noticed.
The more power-ups you got, the harder the game got to compensate.
Dude, I just know that game had the best secret, like, I forget.
It was a sweet game.
To do level select on that, you could switch through levels, you had to reset the Nintendo 13 times.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I totally didn't remember that.
You pressed the reset button. You press it 13 and then do some other stuff.
Okay.
And you can.
How does it register?
How does it know you reset?
Okay.
And
anyway.
Turn the power off.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Okay. So other games, awesome. Other games that do dynamic difficulty adjustment, right? Like Ratchet and Clank. If you're in a sequence, I mean, I mentioned this last week, but real quickly, if you go through a sequence and you lose, you get to go through it again, and guess what? Next time it's easier.
That
every time you lose, it just keeps getting easier until you pass it.
Difficulty adjustment?
Yes, it does.
I didn't know that.
Most people don't notice.
I really like Ratchet and Clank series. I'm a big fan of those games.
And eventually you get through it, right. Now, here's the thing.
I never noticed that, though.
Dynamic difficulty adjustment only works in terms of like a one-player game, first of all, because there's two categories, I think. In terms of a one-player game, it only works to get you through the game. In other words, that's the only benefit, right? It will get you through the game eventually, because no matter how bad you are, it will adjust itself to allow you to go through, right?
Don't underestimate the ability of people to suck.
I know, but...
Some people might not get through even on the
easiest. Well, sure. I mean, if you're completely inept, I'm sure that some people won't. But I'm just saying somebody with a modicum of skill, okay? So anyway... Okay, and then the other cases, like racing games... like with multiplayer,
the rubber band,
for example.
Like the,
right, the rubber band stuff, which is crazy because all it really does is it just randomizes the outcome, right?
Can we explain what this is briefly?
So when you're not in first or when you're behind, your car goes faster. If you're in first, your car goes slower. Or Mario Kart style, right?
Yeah. Or the opponents
or the,
always
the
stay around you.
Right, right.
Speed you're
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's power-ups, right? If you're in first place, all your power-ups are crappy. You're in last place, you get all the super power-ups, right?
Yep.
Stuff like that. It basically kind of like equalizes and randomizes skill. The problem with all of these systems that do this is that any kind of skill that the player has learned, first of all, it either interrupts the player's ability to actually acquire a skill because it doesn't require the player to bump their game up to any level. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't matter what level you're at, you'll still pass. Right? Guitar Hero or... You know, Rock Band, right? Or all these music games that I've said before, you get the most incredible sense of flow out of any of these games. Do they have dynamic difficulty adjustment?
Nope.
No, that's crazy. Why would you even think about that for that type of game? Why do we have it in these other games? Why are people saying that it's something good?
Well, now hang on. You worked on a racing game. You worked on cars.
Yeah. How
boring would that game be if you were so good that you left everybody in the dust and you were just
going
on the track
alone? Well, you should have the option to make it harder.
Well, no. See, the thing is, in a racing game, this is like another situation, but I'll address the issue. In a racing game, when you're in first place, you're making an assumption that you'll get into first place and nobody will just ever get to catch up with you.
Yeah.
Right?
I've seen it happen in some racing
games. It happens, right? In that case, the difficulty level, one of two things I think were a mistake in the design of that game. Either the person just decided to play on a difficulty level that's too easy for them, or B, the opponents have not been spaced out enough. But invariably, even if you design a good game, right, if you're really, really good, you should be able to get up to first place and you should be able to stay there. And if you have the skill to gain 6 seconds on your opponents, that's your reward. You have a 6-second buffer of mistakes.
Okay.
So a lot of people just look at the situation like, oh, well, I'm in front 6 seconds ahead, and now it's boring. And the mistake that's made in those kinds of situations is that you're thinking that you should value the competition of opponents at every single moment of the game, regardless of what you've done before or after. You know, whereas actually getting to first place is a reward for your skill of being able to overcome the challenge, and leading from first place is a further reward.
I'm with you.
Okay.
So now the issue is that basically they just build the game such that they make them too easy or too hard, and it's very difficult to tune the game to actually be...
Well, here's my point, is that dynamic difficulty has some purposes and some uses, but the thing that you completely lose is... I think one of the most important things in game design, which is in game design, you're teaching the player a skill, right? And in order to teach the player a skill, you have to test them at that skill. And to have any kind of – it's funny. It's like – this is like Republican attitude in games, right? You have to challenge them with something that they can overcome, right? You give them the tools to overcome it, then you challenge them. And if they don't get it, well, guess what? In order for them to actually get it, they'll have to try over and over again before they get that skill to actually overcome that obstacle, right? If you lower the bar every time, they never actually gain the skill. They never enjoy the feeling of playing the game and manipulating the controller and the game with competence at a level that's satisfying, because you don't get that if you just make the game easier, right? You just get to see the next part of the game. So there's a certain dynamic that I think has a lot of value that's completely missed in games that just make it easier to compensate for your lack of skill. And that I don't think should be forgotten, and a lot of people forget about that.
So essentially it turns a game into Metal Gear Solid 4, where all you do is wait until the next storyline component.
I guess, is that what that game is?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. I still want to go home and play it. So
I don't know why. I can just tell you everything.
You played through
We had a really good topic that Pen15 suggested. And
yeah, he did.
We're not going to have time to talk about it, but we should talk about it next week.
Okay, what is that topic?
And well, he was talking about, like, well, do you think gamers should be allowed to only experience what they specifically enjoy about a game? Like, oh, I don't like the cutscenes. I just want to play the game, right? So most games kind of let you do that, right? But then what about, oh, I don't like the game. I just want to see the cutscenes. Or then what about, I don't like level 5. I just want to play 1 through 4 and 6 through 8, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how far do you like, take it?
If you've beaten the game before and you get to select which chapters you play, in regards to, like, just watching the cutscenes, you just shouldn't buy that game. Like, MGS4, just don't,
or here's
just don't
another
play
thing,
the
right?
game.
People
watch a movie.
A lot of people have this attitude, which, I mean, you know, I don't mean to couch it in any derogatory term, but they look at a game as like, well, you know, I'm getting 30 cars in this game eventually, so I should be able to just play them all. Like, why do I have to earn them? Why do I have to go through challenges?
All right. Well, we'll talk about that all next week. We'll be
back. Yeah.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.